Case number 13-7017. Larry Elliott Klayman, appellant versus Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook Inc. Mr. Klayman for the appellant, Mr. Primus for the appellees.
Good morning,
Mr. Klayman. Please.
Judge Tittell, Judge Brown, Judge Millett, it's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for your time. This case arises upon a publication on Facebook filmed by Mark Zuckerberg in March of 2011. That publication was called the third Infitada page. We know what happened with the first and second Infitada. Over 100 Jews died in Israel in the first Infitada back in 1985, and over 1,000 died in 2000 and 2005. What was placed on that page was a statement on May 15, 2011, after Muslim prayers are completed, quote, "Judgment Day will be brought upon us only once all Muslims have killed all Jews." That was the statement.
How long did it take Facebook to take the page down after they were notified by the Israelis?
It took about 2 weeks. It was up there for 2 weeks. People died in the interim, Your Honor.
Did you ever notify them?
I did.
Ask them to take it down?
I did.
That's not in the complaint, though.
It's not in the complaint, but I did. I felt that the Israelis, obviously the Prime Minister of Israel, had some standing to ask that it be taken down. But here's the problem here, Your Honor. I believe in the First Amendment, and I'm, in effect, a First Amendment lawyer in many ways. I stand for civil rights. People should be able to say what they want. But when you yell fire in a crowded theater, there is a limitation. That's a clear and present danger. And if the theater owner allows that to happen and furthers it from happening, that theater owner is liable as well. There are two causes of action here, one for assault and one for negligence. And, of course, you can assault through words if there's a fear of bodily injury as well as through deed. And negligence deals with breach of a duty, or either a contractual duty or a fiduciary duty. The Facebook has raised the Communications Decency Act, but Your Honors don't even need to reach that in this case, because Facebook and its subscribers and users have an admitted agreement with the subscribers and users.
Now, the district court's position, the district court's view about that was that you had not raised that argument in your complaint.
Well,
but
actually,
you only raised it in response to the motion to dismiss.
Briefly, we did in our amended complaint. The judge, for whatever reason, didn't allow us to amend, and leave is usually freely granted, and that's an issue which is up on appeal, too. But even without that,
the reason it wasn't allowed was you didn't meet the time limit the court set for filing an amended complaint, right?
Well, that was one of the reasons,
all right,
yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good
it
reason.
Was. But you know what? It doesn't really matter, and that's why we didn't stress it in
all
our
right,
briefs.
So let's not talk about what was in the complaint that wasn't filed. Was there any contract claim in the complaint that was filed?
No, there was a claim for negligence, Your Honor. Okay, and negligence deals with a duty, and that can arise from a contract or a fiduciary duty, and that is inherent in that negligence claim. And Facebook, with its contract, it says, this agreement was written in English. To the extent any translated version of this agreement conflicts with the English version controls. And then it goes down to...
Are you talking about the Statement of Rights and Responsibilities?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is that part of your complaint?
Well, it's inherent in the breach of the duty. We did say there was a duty to take that out. Yeah.
Was this contract mentioned in your complaint? The Statement of Rights and Responsibilities?
We said there was a duty, yes. And that's where the duty comes from. I'll go back to the complaint if Your Honor would like.
Well, do you want to do that? Or, I mean...
In all due respect, Your Honor, it's a good question, but we don't have to mention that if we're pleading negligence. We said there was a duty to adhere to the terms that subscribers were using, okay? We didn't use the word contract.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Klayman, just so I can get the perspective of where your position is. Let's assume we don't agree with you about this, that we think the contract claim is forfeited and that the negligence claim is separate. Do you lose? Is that the end of your case? Because as I understand it, that's your argument for why this isn't an interactive computer service, right?
No,
so let's assume for a minute that we don't agree with you.
If you look at the Yahoo case and the Craigslist case, they say that, in fact, when the Internet service provider has the ability to edit, to remove, as Facebook does, and in fact agreed to it in this instance. And in fact, when it's profiting from that, Facebook allowed this to stay up because at the time it was being marketed through Goldman Sachs, increased circulation. But the Yahoo case and the Craigslist case, as we set forth in the brief, says that you're in effect a publisher. Therefore, you get around the exceptions to the Communications Decency Act. This is an extremely important case. It's not just about Larry Klayman and Facebook.
But didn't the Ninth Circuit in the Yahoo case find Yahoo protected by this statute?
But it had this dicta in the opinion. And it also, with regard to the Craigslist case.
No, but stick with the Ninth Circuit with me. Didn't it find, it sounds like the claim there was exactly like your claim, and they found Yahoo protected by the statute.
It wasn't exactly the same,
was
Your
it?
Honor. We're not dealing with death threats.
Oh, I understand that.
This is different, Your Honor.
I understand that.
People die. You know,
But the point is that there for complaining, wasn't there? There was an offensive dating profile, right? Isn't that what it was in that case?
Yeah, I don't think, Your Honor, you can equate dating
to
threatening to kill all Jews. I don't think you can do that.
Uh-huh.
And I happen to be of Jewish origin.
I agree.
And I'm an activist. And I'm a Zionist.
Uh-huh.
I do not believe in a Palestinian state on the West Bank, and people know that.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a line of fire.
So the difference between the Yahoo case and this case is that Yahoo was protected because this case is different from Yahoo because death threats, de facto fatwas are different from, right?
Well, first of all.
Okay. No, that's your point.
That, yes,
that's
they are,
how
but,
we would
but,
legally,
but I go beyond that. There were actually.
How, I mean, I agree with you. They're completely different.
That.
But you think that provides a legal basis for distinguishing this case.
It's a matter of degree. It's like screaming.
So where do you find that in the statute? We're applying statute.
You've decided to apply the statute?
Well, I asked you whether or not, if we disagreed with you about your contract claim or your and that the negligence claim was based on contract, if we disagreed with you, could you still prevail? And you answered my question by citing the Ninth Circuit case. And so I asked you, well, looks to me like the Ninth Circuit case is similar to this. Your answer was, no, it's different because that was simply offensive materials on a dating profile, whereas this is a threat.
That's one difference, Your Honor,
well,
sure.
Okay, but you're making the argument. What's the other difference?
The Yahoo case stands for the proposition uh-huh. immunity is not provided by the Communications Decency Act.
Right.
It was not intended to be used when the Internet service provider fails to take any action whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Facebook failed to take action. It had to take the Israeli Prime Minister to admonish Facebook to eventually get it to be taken down. And this was not just a question of threats. People actually died, Your Honor. They actually uh-huh. died. And the Communications Decency Act cannot be intended to be applied in these circumstances any more than the First Amendment will shield yelling fire in a crowded theater when the theater owner allows that to occur and furthers it and makes no effort to correct it, to make sure that does not happen. This case goes beyond me.
If we assume, just for argument purposes, that we're going to need to look at the terms of this immunity, can we start with, do you agree that they are an interactive computer service?
I don't.
Okay. Why?
Because they are able to, by their own admission, in the agreement with users like myself, they state that we can remove any content or information you post on Facebook.
Well, let's just talk about the statutory definition of interactive computer service. Is there anything in that statutory definition you disagree with, or is it just your sort of purpose argument?
If you qualified for it, Your Honor, it would be applicable, but Facebook does not qualify
right.
for it.
Can you help me understand why they don't qualify as a matter of statutory text to be an interactive computer service?
Because they have the authority pursuant to this agreement with its subscribers and users.
Where does it say in the statute that whether they're an interactive computer service turns on whether or not they have agreements with their users? I would bet that everyone that's been held to be an interactive computer service has that.
No, there are internet service providers just put stuff up and allow it to sit there and they have no control.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook wants to control it, admittedly. There were admissions by Marnie Levine, its vice president, that they do control the content.
That's not part of this complaint record either, right? That was another complaint. Mr.
Your Honor, we're notice pleading, okay? Notice pleading does not require excruciating detail. We didn't plead fraud, and we didn't plead libel, okay? So we gave adequate notice. This complaint is detailed. But the reality is...
Could you just go back to Judge Millett's question about the definition? Tell us again where it says system or access software provider that provides or enables computer access by multiple users to a computer server. Now, that sounds like Facebook to me. You say no because they have promised to remove offensive materials, right? But where in that definition? That was what Judge Millett asked you. Where in this definition would allow us to exclude Facebook because it does this?
And what I said, Your Honor, was that that would apply if all you did was place it up on the website and then let it go. But Facebook does not qualify as an Internet service provider because it controls the content. I have another case that's in front of this court right now where they're turning over the information to the NSA. They have control of the content.
But hang on. If having the capacity to remove content takes you out of immunity automatically, that would make no sense because the immunity assumes that someone's a publisher and gets protected as a publisher. And publishers, by definition, are people who can take content out or put it in. And so I don't know how you can read interactive computer service to be at war with the protection for publishers.
The reason is, Your Honor, is that Facebook is a unique animal by its own admission.
What does that have to do with the statutory text?
What I'm saying is it falls outside of that statutory text. And, Your Honor, that statutory text cannot be read that way as a matter of just simple logic and common sense. Are you saying, if you affirm what happened in the lower court, you're saying that you can put whatever you want up on Facebook, you can threaten to kill all three of you, and that's fine? Now, that's also a federal offense. That's a crime.
Now, what we would be saying is that if you fall within the definition that Congress set for an immunity about you're an interactive computer service and you're being sued because of publishing content provided by somebody else, then you're immune. It's not us saying something. It's what Congress said.
Well, in this instance, it's a point, but how do you sue the Palestinian people? How do you sue terrorists? Okay? That's what these people are. They're terrorists. So if the terrorists put up on the website, they didn't like you, that you made a decision with regard to Israel or any other matter, and they said, we want to kill Judge Millett, Judge Dattel, Judge Brown. Do you think Congress intended that to be able to stay up there? No.
I think the best intent is going to be the Congress's words. So when I ask you about the interactive computer service, I think you're conceding that you don't have any dispute that they fall within the textual language. You just have this overlay.
Well, there's another argument, is that there are three prongs to getting that immunity, okay, is that you can't be a publisher. And what we're saying, look at the Yahoo case, look at the Craigslist case, that stands for the proposition, granted the facts are different, that Facebook is in effect publishing here. And not only with regard to this particular matter, but they're publishing with regard to their advertising, the way that they allow users to share information. They're allowing that publication to go from one user to the next. Facebook is a unique circumstance. And Facebook, and again, I want to get back to this one point because I think your question is well taken here. We didn't need to plead breach of contract. That's why I didn't raise the amended complaint issue in the briefs, because we pled negligence, and that hinges on a duty. And if Your Honor has an opportunity to go back and look at the complaint, we said there was a breach of the duty, which can be contractual or it can be fiduciary. And it's right here in the statement of rights, and it says they're going to take down anything that's threatening, that causes physical harm, that can hurt somebody. And they didn't do that. They didn't do that.
Facebook is not responsible for the actions, content, information, or data of third parties?
Well, this is a contract of adhesion, Your Honor. I don't think it's quite an equal agreement when a $200 billion company is creating this kind of thing and it gives itself a disclaimer. I was once in front of the lower court with Judge Stanley Sporky. You might remember Judge Sporky. Somebody I admire a great deal, because he was for the little guy. And I had an agreement for 601 Pennsylvania Avenue to get a lease.
Mr. Klayman, could you focus on the statute, please?
I will, Your Honor. Okay. I guess what I'm saying is that...
We all love Judge Sporkin, but he's not before this court.
Let me tell you why he is the concept. The concept is that disclaimers cannot relieve you from your legal rights, and that's what he found.
Is there a case that you want to cite for that? Is that your point?
No, my point is that disclaimers, you can put any disclaimer you want in it, and it doesn't absolve you from liability.
No. Yeah. Any other questions?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Craig Primus from Kirkland & Ellis on behalf of the appellees. Your Honors, I believe, hit on all of the right issues.
What about this point about negligence being derived from this contractual provision?
Yes, Your Honor. As we understood the complaint, Mr. Klayman was pleading that Facebook had a duty to protect him from the statements on that web page. Our response is that as a matter of negligence law, there's no freestanding duty, and he hasn't cited any, that would obligate Facebook to go ahead and remove that. To the extent that he was suggesting in his complaint that there was a duty derived from the Statement of Rights and Responsibilities, Facebook did attach that Statement of Rights and Responsibilities to its motion to dismiss under the normal approach of attaching documents that are inherent in the plaintiff's allegations, even if they're not explicitly pled in the complaint. We don't need to prevail. We don't need the Statement of Rights and Responsibilities to be admitted in order to prevail, but to the extent that this contract-based duty for negligence is going to be recognized as being in the complaint, the Statement of Rights and Responsibilities makes clear that Facebook agreed to no such duty and, in fact, informs all of its subscribers of that the opposite is true. Judge Millett correctly read from Section 15.3 of that document, which says that we do not guarantee that Facebook will be safe or secure. Facebook is not responsible for the actions, content, information, or data of third parties. And there are other cases which have recognized that you can't get around the CDA when an interactive computer service like Facebook has such language in its user agreement. I believe the AOL versus Green case suggests that, and the Barnes case said that the result would have been different on the contract claim as well.
Just to talk a little bit about the statutory text, one thing, are you an interactive computer service? Is Facebook an interactive computer service because of an information service, a system, like some pretty broad access software provider? I'm just trying to figure out which of those.
Yes. Facebook is an interactive computer service both because it's an information service and an information system. And it enables computer access by multiple users to a computer server. Just a procedural point. Mr. Klayman did not.
Facebook's computer server, right? It's your computer server.
Yes.
Is that someone you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes, Facebook's computer servers. Multiple people access them, right, post information and content, and it's viewed by others in the Facebook community.
Uh-huh.
And then do you, as an interactive computer service, comply then with 230D, which requires interactive computer services at the time of entering an agreement with the customer to provide information about parental controls?
Yes, Facebook has information on its webpage and a safety center that notifies people about all the controls that are available on Facebook.
At the time of entering an agreement with the customer?
Yes. And I would also note that there have been numerous decisions where interactive computer services like Facebook websites have been held to be protected by the CDA. It's applied to Yahoo. It's been applied to Google. It's been applied to Lycos. This is not a controversial concept. And
well,
Facebook
about,
in the district courts has also been recognized.
What about Judge Easterbrook's reading in the Seventh Circuit cases of publishers? Narrowing language within C1. And so the question has to be, are you being sued as a publisher like you would in a defamation case, or are you being sued as a non-publisher sort of intermediary?
Judge Easterbrook expressed some concern about the breadth of the immunity that had been recognized by other circuits, but I think on this fundamental concept of the decision whether to allow a post to remain on your website or whether to take it down, that he acknowledged, and in fact in the Craigslist case, he held for the Seventh Circuit that that was protected activity and that the messenger couldn't be sued on behalf of the message. So Judge Easterbrook was raising concerns about things like the Grokster decision or infringement of intellectual property. But for the basic concept of being held responsible for a posting by a third party that the neutral forum like Facebook had no involvement in, Judge Easterbrook is in the mainstream on that issue and found that to be protected by the CDA.
So you put more of a traditional intermediary in the First Amendment law than a publisher because you really, the essence of your service is that you don't do publishing like any normal publisher would. It really is very much a free speech forum. And so maybe you're much more like the intermediaries.
Well,
for these purposes.
Certainly, Facebook is not like a traditional newspaper, which makes decisions about which articles to put in and which articles to leave out as a matter of course. That said, what the statute focuses on is not whether Facebook acts like a traditional publisher in its daily business, but whether the cause of action seeks to treat Facebook as a publisher. Mm-hmm. And here, where the allegation is that Facebook delayed too long in taking down content off of its website, that is what the courts of appeals have recognized to be traditional publisher function.
Mr. Klayman would say, I'm not holding you liable as a publisher. I'm holding you liable. Maybe he's wrong on the merits, but I'm trying to hold you liable because of this agreement that we have.
Well, a couple of responses. First, there's no contract claim. Judge Walton found there was no contract claim, and it's never been pled.
Just to be fair to him, I think what he's saying is not that it's a separate contract claim, but that the contract is the source of the duty for the tort.
Understood.
Again, right there or wrong.
So a couple of responses on that point. First, as we've shown, the contract does not create the duty. It disclaims the duty, so that's not a potential source. But the other point is that what the Barnes case recognized is that it's not the label that's put on the cause of action, whether it's negligence or infliction of emotional distress. And this is a quote, what matters is whether the cause of action inherently requires the court to treat the defendant as the publisher or speaker of content provided by another. And here, the cause of action, both of them, attack a decision and the timing of leaving content on a website. And the Zierin case, the Barnes case, and other cases say that when you're making that decision, whether to allow information to remain on your website or not, you're acting as a publisher, and you're protected if the statute tries to hold you liable for that conduct. And that's exactly what happened in Zierin and in Barnes, and Judge Tatel was exactly right. The Barnes case does not help Mr. Klayman because there the court found the negligence claim to be precluded by the CDA. The only claim that was allowed to survive was a promissory estoppel claim that was based on an express promise by a Yahoo senior executive that they would remove the content. Those facts are not pled here, and they don't exist in this case.
What if your suggested groups function had worked and had referred people to this particular website? Would that make a difference? Would that make you then, at least in part, a content provider?
The answer is no, and there are two reasons. But first, I think that the court is posing it as a hypothetical. That did not happen here, and it's not alleged.
Right.
Facebook was not proposing that anybody read the Third Intifada page. But to the point, the case law has developed to recognize that there is certain editorial activity that entities like Facebook can engage in safely and comfortably within the protection of the CDA. Now, since Mr. Klayman hasn't alleged that and it didn't happen here, the court need not reach the outer boundaries of how far a website or a interactive computer service can go in doing that. But things like reordering content on a page or promoting certain comments higher up, things like that, reordering, have been protected and held to be non-substantive, traditional editorial activity by somebody like Facebook.
We don't have to decide those lines in this case at all.
Excuse me?
We don't have to decide any of those lines in this case at all.
I don't believe the court needs to reach that issue in this case because Facebook had no activity. The only activity Facebook had with respect to the Third Intifada page was to take it down.
And I think you had argued in your brief, and correct me if I'm overreading, that any website is automatically an interactive computer service. Is that right? Or is there something that would distinguish Facebook from a holding that every website is automatically an interactive computer service?
Well, I don't know if we would say absolutely every website is an interactive computer service, but I thought through that question in advance of this argument, and I struggled to think of an example where a website would not qualify as an interactive computer service. Websites are hosted on computer servers for the purpose of having multiple people access them to access the information. And I think that in the Lycos case, the First Circuit essentially found that all websites would be covered. That does not mean, therefore, that every website is therefore immune from any suit. You still have to meet the other requirements of the statute. And so I hope that answers your question.
It's just as a matter of federalism, you know, we try to be careful about how broadly these preemption claims, or immunity serving as effectively as a preemption here, are construed. And so I wondered if Congress really, which wrote this back in time when I wasn't thinking about Facebook, it was thinking about AOL, might not have realized how sweeping it would be to say that websites that meet these sort of three criteria, all their content, no matter how dangerous, and I think we all learn how dangerous sometimes this can be, are going to be immune.
I would have two responses to that. First is certainly the court need not make a statement that every website currently in existence is an interactive computer service in order to find Facebook falls comfortably within that statute. Because Facebook, in the capacity in which it's being sued now, is just like Yahoo in the Ninth Circuit and just like Lycos in the First Circuit. But
is there something about information service that makes it a bit? Or not every website, maybe not every website is an information service or an information to qualify system as well?
Information service or system. I suppose there might be some way. I just hard to say because there are so many websites I can't say in all instances. But the other point, I'm sorry.
No, you finish and then I'll ask you my question.
No, that's okay.
So if I'm thinking about your answer to Judge Millett about interactive computer service, if we agree with you about the contract claim and the negligence claim, do we even have to get to the interactive computer service question? In other words, I'll ask you the same question I asked Mr. Klayman, I guess. If we don't agree with that, what's left in the case?
Yes, Your Honor.
What's left for us to define?
The order below can be affirmed on one of two alternate grounds. Yeah. It can be affirmed under the Communications Decency Act. It can also be affirmed because neither the assault nor the negligence claim state a claim under Rule 12b-6.
Okay. Well, You mean because they weren't articulated in the complaint?
No, it's assault and negligence because he doesn't have the basic factual predicates to state a claim under Rule 12b-6 under California law. And Judge Walton did not reach those grounds. And we would urge the court to decide this on the basis.
Here's what I was getting at.
Go ahead.
As I read his brief, he says, we don't have to decide whether it's an interactive computer service because they breached their obligations to us based on their pledge about removing materials, right? Is that right?
I'm not sure I understand Mr. Klayman's claim to be that.
Okay.
I think he's saying that there was a negligence-based duty that arose out of the statement of rights and responsibilities.
But isn't his argument, I guess we can ask him, that that's why it's not an interactive computer service?
To the extent that is his argument, that it has no basis in the statute whatsoever. The statute does not distinguish by type of speech or how hurtful the speech is or where the duty comes from.
Please.
I just wanted to say that we would urge the court to decide this case on the basis of the CDA because that's really a threshold question in cases like this. People in the D.C. Circuit and the D.C. courts should understand the same way as every other court that has, Court of Appeals has addressed this, that this is an important issue. The CDA was intended to protect free speech and a robust exchange of ideas on the Internet, some good ideas, some bad ideas, but that's a policy choice Congress made.
Now, I was going to ask you, I think Judge Tatel's question implicated this. As a matter of jurisprudence, is it proper for us to wade into this important CDA question, which has far-reaching implications, if we were to agree that the complaint just doesn't state a claim? Anyhow, it seems a little odd to me to jump past whether the complaint states tort claim, the elements of a tort claim, and go right to an affirmative defense. Is there any case law on that or any jurisprudential reason why we should prefer one course over the other?
Certainly, Your Honor. The first off, this D.C. Circuit has recognized an affirmative defense can be decided on a 12B6 motion where the facts are on the face of the complaint, which is clearly the case here.
Is it on the face of the complaint that your publisher is on the face of the complaint that you have the information that you didn't in whole or in part contribute to the content? Is that really on the face of the complaint?
Yes. In paragraph 4, he alleges that Facebook is a social networking website on the Internet. He alleges that multiple people went and visited the website. His causes of action inherently attack Facebook's decision about whether and when to remove the content, which is a classic publisher's decision. So all the elements of the CDA defense are on the face of the complaint.
Just being a social networking site isn't going to hit that, like the roommate's case, and it's not quite networking, it's networking of a different kind, but there are going to be difficult lines to draw based on, you know, drop-down boxes or those information content being provided by the website. So simply an allegation that your social networking site does that necessarily mean that you have established on the face of this complaint all these elements of the CDA?
Certainly, because that establishes that we're an interactive computer service. The roommate.com case went to whether the website had morphed over or crossed the line into becoming an information content provider, and the Ninth Circuit held in that case that it had because it dictated what needed to be said and if people had to submit information in violation of federal law. So in the roommate.com case, they became an information content provider. In this case, there's no allegation that Facebook had any role in providing any of this content. We're just being sued because of what a third party said. So this doesn't present any of the line issues that, say, roommates does.
The allegation is that you all thought, again, it's just taking the allegations for what they are at this stage, that you all had a role in the sense that you make money off of this, that you want to encourage people to be coming to any and all sites, and this was, you know, so you actually had a role in that this was a positive thing for Facebook to allow this kind of speech to stay out there.
Well, and that's true of any interactive computer service that allows people to post information. It's to attract people to come and read it. And in fact, those are the policy statements and findings in sections A and B of this statute. So the fact that Facebook's business model is to allow people to post and review information, that's completely consistent with the statute. But the other thing I would add is that a number of courts have decided this issue on 12b-6, the Fourth Circuit in Nemec, which said it should be decided at the earliest possible stage of the proceeding, First Circuit in Lycos, Ninth Circuit in Barnes, Eighth Circuit in Johnson versus Arden. So this is not an uncommon issue, and it's important because if these cases are resolved on CDA grounds, it's a very quick motion to dismiss. Courts can tell very quickly whether a company like Facebook is an interactive computer service and if there's any allegation that they actually created the speech. If there's not, then the case is over. If the court goes the route of resolving this on the 12b-6 grounds, which weren't addressed by the court below, then we get into issues of amendment and liberal notice pleading and all the types of things that become very costly to litigate in the district court when Congress has made a policy choice that companies like Facebook shouldn't have to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Did Mr. Klayman have any time left? Okay, Mr. Klayman, you can take 2 minutes.
Thank you. Just to answer the last one quickly, the difference here is that Facebook was asked to take it down, and there was just, in effect, an admission that they had no responsibility. Well, they did, particularly when they were asked to take it down, and they didn't. They went way beyond Internet service provider. But I just want to read one thing really quickly to Your Honor about the complaint. Paragraph 6, two things. Plaintiff at all material times has a Facebook account titled Larry Klayman. Yes, that the account is the agreement. It's pled in the complaint. Then when you get to the negligence count, at paragraph 19, as a subscriber to Facebook and as a member of the public, defendants owed a duty to plaintiff of care, which they violated and breached by allowing and furthering the death threats by the Third Palestinian Infitada and related and similar sites. In particular, the refusal by defendants to remove these postings when they were asked to do so by the government of Israel, plaintiff and others, see, I did plead in there that I asked them to take it down, who were directly affected, further underscores their negligence, gross negligence, and recklessness, which rises to the level of wanton and intentional conduct. Plaintiffs were therefore damaged. So I wanted to set that forth because, yes, I did plead that I asked them to take it down. Mm-hmm. I have a direct interest here. And, Your Honor, this is an extremely important case. We would like you to reach all issues here because we cannot allow any kind of publisher or Internet provider or anyone that allows death threats to stay up there when they're asked to take it down for 2 weeks. This was during a period, as pled in the complaint, that Facebook was being marketed through Goldman Sachs to the New York Stock Exchange. They wanted to get the viewership up. They had control of the content, particularly once they were told to take it down. They owned it. They ratified it. They, in effect, bought what the Third Impetata page had set forth. And this is the tragedy here, is that this case goes way beyond me. It goes way beyond anyone. It deals with the way a company that's worth $200 billion behaves in the marketplace and allows something to stay up that results in the death of not just innocent Jews, but others.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Case is submitted. Thank you both.